Blog Talk Radio.
Cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Welcome to the House of Christ Ministries presents Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you live from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls But if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com, or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. You can visit our social Christian network at www.myhocm.ning.com and our Christian bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com, our online Bible Institute at www.houseofchristbibleinstitute.org. You can also visit our affiliated school of ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc., at www.riversofrevival.com. Continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission according to Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Acts 1, verse 6 through 8 also tells us, When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost part of the earth. Dearly beloved, we must complete the task. We must forcefully advance the kingdom. We must make the enemies of Jesus Christ his footstool. Let us start with our families, our neighbors, our friends and co-workers, and fellow students. We are to walk in authority on this earth and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should make every Christian social network that is available to us proclaim Jesus Christ throughout the world. And I'm calling on all believers throughout the world to join me in proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission. I'm encouraging you to reach out to every person in your neighborhood, on your jobs, every person you come in contact with, and share the word of God with them and proclaim Jesus Christ throughout the world so that we can honor the Great Commission for the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Proclaim Jesus Christ throughout the world and to honor the Great Commission
by posting your lessons and encourage other individuals to do the same. To use that website, it's absolutely free. There is no charge to that. You could also visit our Christian bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com. You could also visit our affiliated school of ministry at House of David Ministries, Inc., www.riversofrevival.com. Let us pray. And now, O Lord, O God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city of Jerusalem, by holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear, and hear, open thine eyes, and behold our desolation and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplication before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Fathers, we continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming your Son, Jesus Christ, throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission. I pray that you will give us wisdom and understanding, and your words will be embedded in our hearts, that we will not sin against thee. Help us, O Lord, that as we ask your forgiveness, we will find it in our hearts to forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, whose blood was shed on Calvary for the remission of our sins. We thank you for the opportunity to come before your throne to worship you, Lord, with blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen.
I must adore Jesus, all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must adore Jesus. Thank you.
Scripture for tonight will be taken from Psalm chapter 32, the King James Version. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Let us honor God's word. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Lord, I thank you that even while I was yet a sinner, you came down and paid the price that no one else could have paid, as a ransom for my sins. Lord, I thank you today. I can't praise you enough, Lord, for dying for me. I was guilty with nothing to say, and they were coming to take me.
Continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission. Tonight's lesson will be the continuation of the beginning of sorrows, and it's in a series, the Book of Revelation. We will take a short break and come right back.
Jesus is mine, O oh, what a
back to the event that will precede this event, which again is called by Jesus Christ the beginnings of sorrows. Matthew 24, verses 3-8 says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows." Matthew 24, verse 9-14, tells us of the tribulation period that precedes the beginnings of sorrows. It reads, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end be." The question that many people, both Christians and unbelievers as well, ask is, why does God allow these things to happen? Before I explain why, I want to point out a significant point, which is these things are an effect, which is a result of a cause, which is action. There is something or some things that cause this effect. Let me now explain why God allows this. God allows these things as a mercy to many, wanting them to turn from their sins that will ultimately send them to hell. You may think, what do these terrible things have to do with sin? There are many who claim to be mature Christians, yet will not accept the full truth of the Word of God. They try to make God in the image of man, who are natural humanitarians, just wanting to save the natural man because of the physical pain and anguish they see, not understanding that God is an eternal humanitarian, wanting to eternally save and bless man because of the eternal pain and anguish God knows that man will experience in hell without him. Often the natural humanitarian love that we have toward people can hinder them from turning to God for the eternal humanitarian love that he offers through his Son, Jesus Christ. So God will allow natural things to happen for the benefit of the eternal soul and spirit that he yearns to save. It is man's sin or wicked acts that is the root cause of sorrow and not God. Psalm 32 verse 10 says, "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about." The word wicked above in the Hebrew is rasha, meaning wicked or criminal. It is a guilty one, or one guilty of a crime. Sin is a crime which requires a penalty or judgment. It is someone who is hostile towards God. This hostility is based on the fact that they are guilty of sin either against God or man. So someone may do nice things to you or for you and yet be wicked because they are a spiritual criminal who is hostile towards God due to their embracing or committing sin. So we have established that sorrows are not because of God, rather because of man's sin, to miss the mark, misstep, that which is done wrong, an offense, a violation of the divine law, in thought or in act, such as lying and lusting, and or iniquity, a perverse or depraved action or crime, such as abortion and child sacrifice to false deities, witchcraft, voodoo practices, devil worship, intentional hurting of the innocent. When you find an increase in iniquity and sin, or when it abounds, multiplies, or increases, then sorrows soon follow due to the judgment that must fall on these evil acts. Sorrows are dispensed or is a result often when a person's sins, a city's sin, an ethnic group's sin, or a nation's sins have reached heaven or are full or complete, reach the point of effect that produces a specific result. Genesis 15, verses 13 through 16, gives us spiritual insight of this fact. It reads, "And he said unto Abraham, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age." But in the fourth generation, they shall come either again. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Abraham's seed could not inherit the land of Israel until the iniquity, perverse or depraved actions and crimes of the Amorites had reached a point of completion or measure that completed the qualification for judgment to fall. In this case, causing a dispossession of their land. Also in the book of Revelation 18, verses 1 through 8, we see the children of God being called out of Babylon because their sin had become full or complete. When sins and our iniquities have reached heaven, it usually means that those committing these sins will not or perhaps don't think it necessary to repent and turn from doing these things. Perhaps these sins might be part of their heritage or tradition. When judgment falls in places, often there are those who are righteous in the sight of God, yet the multiplied sinful behavior often greatly outweighs the few righteous. This was the case in Sodom and Gomorrah, when the Lord had two angels came to speak with Abraham regarding what he was about to do to Sodom. Genesis 18, verses 16 through 23 tells us of this. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abram went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely be a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? The purpose of these sorrows is for repentance. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 9 through 11 says, now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorrow, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehemence, desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. We will take a short break and come right back. Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com, or you can write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. You can visit our Christian social network at www.myhocm.ning.com and our Christian bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com. You can also visit our affiliated school of ministry at House of David Ministries at www.reverseofrevival.com. And in addition, you can visit our Bible Institute at www.houseofchristbibleinstitute.org. We will go right back to the lessons as we continue on this spiritual journey, the book of Revelation and the beginning of sorrows. Often people are sorry for the wrong reasons, which does not cause the results that God would desire. Some are sorry because they were caught. Some are sorry because they do not enjoy the consequences of their acts. Yet sorrows should cause a person or group to be sorry to repentance or sorry enough to ask God to forgive them of their behavior and change or turn from doing it. The end results of sorrow is not to have money-raising events for people or nations or to feel pity, rather for repentance, turning from sin, and turning to God is the purpose of sorrows. For the saving not only of the flesh, but the soul and spirit eternally. If a person or people repent after receiving some sorrow for a season, then return back to that behavior, often a greater sorrow or judgment may impact them. As the day of the Lord approaches, the sorrows will increase because time is short and God wants people to repent for their sins for the saving of their eternal souls. These events are not meant for total destruction, rather to get the attention of people so that they may return to Christ for salvation. The beginning of sorrows is the starting point of some very serious judgments. Yes, judgments. For some reason, many Christians, as well as unbelievers, don't believe that God is a righteous judge. Rather, they see God as some unbalanced person who just loves them and their sin and is not intelligent enough to make judgments based on their acts. It is idiotic to believe this. We as humans are more intelligent than this, for we have courts who discern right and wrong, then weigh and dispense the level of punishment that must be given to those who commit different crimes. God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, so that we would not have to come into judgment. Yet many expect to escape judgment while rejecting His judgment exemption clause, Jesus Christ, or while acknowledging Christ and not submitting their lives to Him and turning from their sin. Judgment happens especially when people know to do right, yet choose with this knowledge of truth to do wrong. It is the rejection of truth and God's people that He sends that are often the qualification for judgment. This is why I know that judgment will begin at the house of God. 1 Peter 4, verse 17 says, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? When the church are those who claim to be children of God, who know to do right, chooses to embrace a lie or do wrong, then it is a sure candidate for judgment. When you see greed, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, pornography, lying, etc., common in the church, then you know that judgment is about to fall in the house of God amongst his people. It would be unfair to judge others without first judging our own. God will not spare his people while judging others. Rather, he will set his house in order first, and then use his people as an example of his standard. It is not only God's people who will be judged for not submitting to truth and knowledge of God, but also individuals and governments. When governments pass laws to embrace acts of sin, wickedness, and exalt false deities as God, including false religion, witchcraft, New Age thoughts, voodoo, often by pushing on ecumenical agenda, then those nations will come into judgment. This is especially true when the gospel of Jesus Christ has been spoken in that nation or city, and they act with full knowledge against the truth of God's word. This is what is happening around the world today. There is promotion and protection of sin by governments, such as with gay marriages, men marrying men, and women marrying women. Promotion of New Age and false religions. Promotion and protections for iniquities such as abortion, while attacking the standard of God's word and his servants. When multitudes of people will pay hundreds and thousands of dollars to go to see sporting events and concerts and will not give a few dollars to God's work, judgment will come due to idolatry. Many blame God for judgment, or when they are facing the result of their rebellious acts. The fault is usually the people who are facing the difficulty. People hate to hear this truth, for it is easier or better in their eyes to blame someone else or say that it is fate than to accept responsibility and change. Here is the situation in the simplest of forms. God gives boundaries that people should function in and warns them of the results of violating those things. Yet they act in disobedience and receive the penalty, which is the judgment that we're warned about. Just like Adam and Eve, who would not obey, thus man lost his original position of dominion and opened the door to the judgment of sickness, disease, natural and eternal death. Yet people blame God when these things happen. These sorrows that are now happening around the world are judgments. People do not like being judged, yet they do not turn from their sins. This is true regarding the individual person and collective groups. People do not mind committing the crime against God, yet they do not like during the time, suffering, and judgment. From this point on, what should we expect? We have entered a season of judgment for both the individual and collective groups who will not turn from their sins. This season of judgment causes sorrows. Often those who are not being judged feel sadness for those who are, and not knowing why they are going through what they are. Yet a closer examination of the person or group's life will most often uncover sin, unrepentant sin, that they have acknowledged regarding. Because we may love the individual or group, we often forget that God is just and that they are facing a penalty. I thought that judge was unfair when I realized they were not unfair, but properly. It was I who was wrong because I let my heart give me its view that was based on a relationship and truth. The person who I loved was now being sentenced with others, and he and others were to have their feet set in concrete, telling me that the judgment was set and they would not be able to escape. I realized that although I loved this person, they still were acting outside of God's will. They had gone through a lot, yet God had given them the tools to overcome, which they did not use. Rather, they did things that they had full knowledge of, that was against the will of God. Sometimes we are family members, and this was just part of a story of someone who had a relative going through judgment, and they felt sorry for them. Often, these people do not turn to God. Rather, they continue in their sin. Even when the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth has come to them, causing God to step back and judgment to fall. Again, God often reaches out to those who are on the verge of judgment, wanting to give them an opportunity to turn from their sins. Although God reaches out to them, many still harden their hearts against God by continuing in their sins. Hebrews 3, verse 12 through 15 says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in provocation." Sometimes judgment or sorrows cause a person or people to begin to consider life and its true purpose. Some get angry at God, never looking at themselves as the reason, while others become repentant and turn from behavior that brings with it a result which is judgment. submitting themselves to God by not hardening their hearts. Some people want to shut the mouths of the prophets of God who declare these truths by verbally attacking the truth of God's word that they deliver. Don't ever align yourself up with those who come against God's prophets, who declare truth that may be hard to receive, yet they are God's word. During this time and the time of the tribulation, there will be those who will try to calm the people by saying that all is safe and peaceful. This is a lie. Many who have no spiritual vision have and still are deceiving the people of the world, claiming that things are getting better and to expect world peace and safety soon. Again, this is a lie. Their statement is actually a biblical prophecy which tells us of sudden destruction when we hear those saying these things. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 1 through 4 says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. So what should we, the Christians, be doing during this time? Explaining to the world the truth and the fact that they should repent, for Jesus Christ is soon to return. Is there a way out for the world? There is a way out. Yet the world as a whole will not accept God's escape clause as an option. Accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and repenting, turning from their sins. The sorrows have begun. Do not be afraid to tell the world to repent and turn to Jesus Christ. Beloved, I remind you once again, the sorrows have begun. Do not be afraid to tell the world to repent and turn to Jesus Christ. Conclude this segment of the lesson tonight. If you desire to know more about the beginning of sorrows, please write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. We would like to extend an invitation to those who do not know Jesus Christ, and to those who have known him and have turned away from him. Revelation 2, verse 4, Jesus warned that the Christians in a particular church had drifted away from their first love. They did not love him as they once did. Could this apply to you or me today? A little later in Revelation 3, verse 15, he warned believers in another church that they had grown lukewarm, no longer hot and passionate for him. Could he mean us? Has your love for Jesus Christ waned? Has your devotion for Christ weakened? Romans 3, verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. A common concern in the body of Christ is that sometimes people may begin to act superior or make others feel inferior based on their positions and places in the church. Because we are all sinners saved by grace, it doesn't give any one person a right to be deemed better or more innocent than someone else. It's only through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that you will be put in right standing with God. Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin is sin, period. If one person murders a man and another person gossips about a woman, they both stand in the need of repentance. Every sin is named unrighteous, and there is not one person who has not sinned at some point within their lives. Don't live a life of guilt concerning your sin. Just get up, repent, and move forward. Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You can choose to serve one of these two masters, sin or God. Living in sin is deadly. Living in Jesus Christ brings eternal life. You have to ask yourself these two questions. Are the pleasures from this world, short-lived life of sin, worth giving up eternal life for? Are you willing to suffer and pay the price for something forever that you enjoyed for a moment? Beloved, we must take this seriously. Romans 10, verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If we repent of our sinfulness, then confess and trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives, we will be saved from the penalty of sin. The gospel offers us promise to save us from the penalty of sin. We must believe it. The gospel also offers us a person in Jesus Christ who paid our penalty and deserves to be Lord of our lives. We must receive him. I would like to invite you right now to pray to God, telling Him you're ready to trust Christ to save you from the penalty of sin, and confess Him as the Lord and Savior of your life. Tonight, Jesus Christ is standing at the door of your heart, knocking, listening, waiting to be your Lord and Master. I am going to ask you to submit to Him by repenting of your sins and enthrone Him in the center of your heart. He allows no rivals. Please join me in prayer right now. Lord, I am a sinner. I admit that I have sinned and made myself unclean before You, the Holy God. I don't want to live as a sinner anymore. I understand that I deserve death as a penalty for my sins. I want to turn away from my lifestyle of selfishness and sin. I repent. I confess. I believe that Jesus Christ paid the price with His blood. I believe that He came into this world and died for my sins, so I shall be saved. I believe that He rose from the dead and is now in heaven. I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I put Him in control of my life as Lord. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Dearly beloved, if you have just accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you have just recommitted your life to Jesus Christ, I encourage you to find a church in your local community. Or if you like more information to help you grow spiritually, please write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Helmand, New York, 11003. God bless you for tuning into our show tonight. As we continue on this spiritual journey, I'm your host, the Reverend Donald Davis, reminding you to tune in every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwell in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, Lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this love, that we walk after his commandments, this is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we have received a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath no God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that abideth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen, and God bless you. Good night.